Blog Talk Radio.
Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Seen thine hand from above, rid me and deliver me out of many great waters, from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, unto a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, and delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth 1,000 and 10,000 in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is the people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. And glorious and victorious day we know that it is. And I want to ask you, according to the rebuttal, hearing these blessed words of inspiration, of motivation, and of stimulation, according to Psalms 144, is the Lord your God this morning? Is he the source of your very existence? Is he the very anomaly of your endeavors? And if your Lord is God and your God is the Lord, then happy shall ye be. Amen. There's so many people in this day and time, and it's just really almost to the point of becoming viral, almost epidemic, to the point of people are so unhappy, so disharmonized, so disfranchised, so very cruel-hearted, so very asinine, as one would say in more fervent terms, with their demeanor, with their character, vicious, ungrateful, unorthodox, heaving, that's right, violent, aggressive, non-passive, because of the afflictions that they're experiencing in the extramural setting of things. That's right, they're allowing the external factors of this world to predicate their demeanor, their behavior. That's right, and let me tell you something, when you live from the external to the internal, you are going to have that attitude problem. You're going to walk in a spirit of unforgiveness. You're going to walk in a spirit of hatred, of heaviness. You're going to walk in a spirit of stagnation and of indignation. You're going to walk in heaviness. Your steps will become bothersome, a pestilence. A pestilence is something that gets on your nerves. And it knocks you off balance. And it will stagnate you. It will stagnate your growth. As I oftentimes use this phrase, and many people have adopted this phrase that was given to me, procrastination is the enemy of progression. You will never progress when you procrastinate to do what is right, to follow that which is right. When you live from the external to the internal, you're going to keep on falling. You're going to keep on coming up short. You're going to keep on being unhappy, dissatisfied, disemboweled, disconnected, disenfranchised. You're going to keep on experiencing the same old results with the same old attitude. This is what it boils down to. You've got to get out of you and get into the Word of God, because man shall not live. Are you listening to me this morning? Listen to what I'm saying, because I don't speak of my own abilities, my own capacities. I speak of the knowledge of God, of truth, of inspiration, of motivation that gets you out the mess that you got yourself in. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. You can't live by reading the media headlines or listening to what the media is projecting of what's going on in the world. You can't live by what your coworkers are saying, what your family members are saying, and other associations are saying. You will die. You will die in your mind. How does death start? It starts in the mind. That's right. Because as a man thinketh, are you listening this morning? As a man thinketh, so is he. So whatever your mind projects, your heart receives. Whatever your heart receives becomes a part of your instantaneous anatomy. You will start conducting yourself in the manner of what is embedded or impregnated within the mind. See, the mind is the impregnation factor, but the heart is what brings the birth process into flourishing. It's just that simple. That's the reason why he told us, according to his word, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. That's right. And the Apostle Paul said, casting down every imagination that exalted itself above God and holding every thought into captivity unto the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So then why? You can overstep this world. This world is nothing but a millstone. You know what you can do with a millstone? You can go over it, you can go beside it, or around it. You will never go under it. That means it's your stepping stone to your next level up. And this is the way that we ought to live, that we ought to receive, and that our existence should be reprised upon. That's right. We have no business being overtaken by this world. Remember when our Messiah spake to the disciples, and they were questioning as to what was going to happen at the end of times and how things would become so turbulent, so terse. He said, listen, in the world, you're going to have times of trial. You're going to have times you're going to question the integrity of your existence. He said, tribulation. Because that means a time of questioning, why are you here? He says, you're going to have those times. And it seems like you're all alone on your own island of Patmos, as John the Divine was. He says, you're going to have tribulation. This is what our Messiah said. He said, but take comfort in knowing this. I am the victory that overcometh the world and even your faith. Do you get it? He said, I am. And what did God the Almighty tell Moses when Moses said that I have to go before the king of Egypt? He would not give place to me or consideration to what I say. And God said, you know what? Tell him that I am sent you. That means I am all in all. There is no challenge. There is no competition. I am complete. I am all that there is, have sent you. So when our Messiah told his disciples, his first followers, who were being commissioners in training, I am the victory. I am. He is all that there is. I am the victory that overcometh the world and even your faith. So it doesn't get any better than that. There is no question. There is no challenge. The only roadblock that there is your willingness, my willingness to be subjected to the higher powers of God. Now, here comes the difficulty. Here comes the controversy. It doesn't seem right according to the carnal persuasion of our anatomy. I can't see it with my natural eye, so it can't be true. Let me tell you something. This is why many of us are falling down and can't get back up. You know why? The Lord is not our God, and the God is not our Lord in our lives. And we keep trying to evaluation capacity of elimination of dexterity in our own members, and our own abilities are failing us day by day, hour by hour, second by second, microcosmic second by second. Why? We're trying to process external things and take them internally. No, you as a believer in Christ, and that God raised him up from the tomb, and that he is now set on the right-hand throne of God, is contingent to the fact that you live from the internal, that I live from the internal to the external. You see, that's the reason why that's a key element when he said, I am the victory. Not you are, but I am Christ, the victory. And when we are walking in obedience and open up our hearts and our minds, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the guiding compass, the elemental teacher that instructs us, that counsels us in this classroom of life. Then we become the predecessors. We become the priest of the Davidical and rabbinical order of God. We become endued with that power from on high, because why? We're living from the internal, from the spirit man to the external factor. And this is why it's so very important that we do these things and that we hold our partners to these things, lest at any given time we should let them slip. So what a word of knowledge it is this morning. Stop living from the external, what you see and what you think you see, and to the internal, because you're going to become a very bitter person. And you know something, when you harbor bitterness, and listen to me, you are taking slow, bitterness poison of your own volition, your own voluntary measure, and expecting someone else who has offended you or done you wrong to get sick. And guess what? You're not only getting sick, you're dying. Everything around you is dying. You know, your productivity is dying. Your mentality is dying. Your demeanor is dying. Your relationship that you once had and was so productive and progressive, that's dying. That's right. Your ability to think positive is dying. You're dying. Death starts in the mind, sweetheart. Not in the body, it proliferates in the mind. And this is the reason why he told us in his word that if a man thinketh so, is he? You got to get your mind right. Get your mind focused. Get your mind off the things in this world. He said, love not the world nor the things that but behold, the world passeth away. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm living an abundant life. I'm living a glorious life. I'm living a victorious life. And I am happy. There's nothing that anybody, any force can do about it, because God has destined me for happiness. He's destined me for greatness. He's destined me for victory. He's destined me for success. And this is the reason why. I don't live from the external to the internal. I live from the internal to the external. And so this is what we must do. We must perpetuate and do constantly and continually. What a blessed existence that we have. And the word of revelation and knowledge, sometimes the word of knowledge comes across hard. Sometimes it reveals things about ourselves that we did not even know, or more so things we don't even understand. Why? This is why we're configuring to the body of Christ. We all have different moduses of operation or capacities of function. That's right, in the body of Christ. Because why? One member has to associate and look out for the other member. And as being a teacher, a call, a summon, anointed and appointed teacher, an instructor, that means I have to be observant. I have to do classical and non-classical observations, not only of my environmental projections, but of my own personal interpretations. I have to be observant of every student that's in my classroom. Why? Because I have to be on tap, on task and definitively on my mission, or to provide effective instruction that's going to be beneficial to the students which are housed in my classroom. Why? Because I'm accountable for my students. I'm not accountable for those who are not my students, but for those who are my students or potentially become my students, I am accountable for them. So I'm accountable for what I teach, I'm accountable for what I instruct and what I present, and I take what I do very seriously, because you know what? There's numerous individuals who are out there in the listening audiences. You're listening to Manna from On High. Every chance that you can get, my statistics prove that you're listening, even with the archive productions. You're listening because you're getting something from here that you're not getting in your daily walk or your daily talk, or even within your congregational settings. You're not getting that meat. You're tired of soup. You want meat. You're tired of vegetables. You want meat. You're tired of liquids. You want meat because you want to see growth in your life. You want to see things escalate in your life, and this is where you're getting it from, Manna from On High. That's right. Never bought, certainly unbought, and will never, ever be undersold. Can the church say amen? Let the redeemed of the Lord, to the first book of Corinthians, the letter that Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in Corinthians. That's right. Paul was really getting tired of these situations that were actually taking place in that city with those believers, because they had bought themselves out to a level where they were not becoming public with their belief system. They were bowing down to the belief factors of others. They were letting the government predicate how they conducted their fellowship as well as their worship. Let us start with the 13th verse. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 13, verse. Come on, get your book. There have no temptation taken you by such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Okay? What is possible saying? Pressing to you moments ago. In the world, as our Messiah told us, you're going to have times where you're going to question the integrity of your existence. You're going to wonder, why am I experiencing these types of circumstances in my life? You're going to feel hopeless. You're going to feel helpless. You're going to feel entrapped, entangled, destitute. You're going to feel plundered and plunged upon. You're going to feel the very essence of the challenges of this system. You're going to experience that. Why? Because you have to be purged. See, look at this as being a purging type of occurrence in your life. Sometimes there's things within us that we don't know are in us, but they're lying dormant, and when the circumstance or a situation arises, then it elevates and becomes vivid or becomes living matter in which we can openly relate to. So in understanding these things, we're going to know that there's going to come a time where we're going to be, led to want to act up. Out. When people offend us, we're going to want to act up and act out. Why? Because it's a reaction, a natural reaction, causation factor of the flesh, that when someone says something offensive to you, that you become offensive. That's right. You become aggressive and violent. It's a natural occurrence that when someone says something that's defaming and demoralizing to you, that you do the same thing to them. Because why? We are in the flesh. We are birthed after the first Adam. But see, the second Adam, who knew no sin, who knew no impartiality, who knew no infraction, he overtakes us when we take on his name and we take on his spirit. This is why it's so very important to walk in the essence and to walk in the light of the truth. And this is why our Lord told us, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he that the Son has set free is free and free indeed. And be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage. So it's very important that we understand these things, that at any time we should let slip. He says, so therefore, just know that God can relate to you. Why? Through Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. Why? Because he took on the flesh of natural man so that he would know the affiliations. That's right. Divinity took on flesh. Perfection took on the imperfection. That's right. So that he would be affiliated with what we experience in our natural bodies, in our natural placement of things. Why? Because he had, number one, he had to destroy sin in the flesh. He had to impart to all of the negative factors of humanity and absorb those things and take them in the ground, bury them, and lay them to rest. This is the reason why he had to be crucified. Number one, the atonement factor had to take place, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So that's the reason why he was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities, for every infraction that we ever committed from the time of birthing until the time of the great or the departure, the physical departure. He took on all of those and cleaned us up so that we could present it back to the Father again, because in the first hand of things, we were God's spirit children. We had no physical imparchment. We had no physical natural encasement. We were but spirit matter. And if you know, like I know, spirit matter has no definitive factor of body, embodiment, but we were beings. And God knew each and every one of us. And when he spoke into existence, and we came to the natural appropriations of what is called the procreation factor, we were birthed into the physical realm, into the physical world. That's right. And so therefore, after that, we became identified in a physical perspective. We were given a label or a name. That's right. You can change your name, but the label remains the same. Can you say amen? That's right. So we therefore became identified. So when we took on the essence of flesh, we became sinful. We became, you know, definitely rebellious. Despite how cute we were as children, as charming as we were as children, we were evil little beings. That's right. So Christ, our Messiah, had to come and take away or subtract, as many of you may rather refer to it as being, the negativity of each and every one of us so that we could be presented back to the Heavenly Father as pure spirit children. Never came in by this world. So he became familiar with what we experience in this world. That's right. So in his mercy, he atoned for us. He made us at one with the Father so we would be justified just as if we had never did anything wrong. But you got to be tempted. You've got to be challenged with the very thing that you, you know, said that you were victorious of. He said, but you know what? God is going to give you a way to escape. That's right. Through his amazing grace. That's right, his amazing grace. Grace is that extra-sensual cushion, that divine favor that God shows those who love him. He knows who loves him, and he knows who's faking. He knows those who are taking, and I advise you to be real. Be real with the deal. And you know what? You will receive the very blessings of Abraham in your life. Don't lie about it. Don't be deceitful, because you know something? The Lord has spoken to us in his word, and he let us know that whatever is done in the dark shall be made manifest by the works of light. That's why light always drives away the darkness. So Apostle Paul says in the 14th verse, wherefore, my dearly beloved, oh, I love that, flee from idolatry. What is he saying in the 14th verse? He says, rather to say, flee from worldly standards. Stop getting hung up in all the very essences of what's going on in this world. And I look at some of the things that are being done, and people are supporting it and speaking well of it. Some of the negative role models in society, people are just giving them the very standards of support to iconic measure. That's right. Iconic means idolatry-based measures. That's right. You know, and this is what is so disturbing to me. Instead of people saying, Lord, raise me up to where I belong, that I may be a testimony of your greatness, your goodness, of your divine mercy and intervention, that I can be that testimony that so many people need to hear and need to know about. They're looking at various individuals who are performing in negative aspects in the media circle and idolizing their behavior. I cannot stoop to that level. I love them, but I don't love what they do. and I do not support this type of behavior, because he wants us to cast down those imaginations. Entertainment is wonderful. God wants us to be entertained. He wants us to enjoy life, but we have to manipulate. We have to monitor what we feed upon. Why? Because the mind is where the pregnancy starts of ideas, thoughts, and concepts, and those things will become impregnated with us, and the heart will birth those things into manifestation. I don't want that garbage in my life. I have a life. I have a beautiful life, and I want my life to continue to be beautiful and bountiful and happy so that I can project these, you know, these examples to others, that I'm effective as a teacher to instruct you on how to get where you need to be and have all that you need to have. And God has it, but he's simply waiting on those who are asking and requesting of him to do what is called the base level requirement standards or factors. There's certain performance standards that are required to receive that which God says. He says, ask what ye will in my name, it shall be given. See, everything comes with a requirement. And see, I don't know where people think with that baggy faith system, I can ask God for what I will, he's given to me. But there are base level requirements, my darling, that you have to adhere to. God does not want coward soldiers or forward men and women. He wants those who are distinctive, who are not afraid to be a cut above the rest, who are not from the crowd. I've never liked crowds anyway. You know, sometimes when I'm presenting, there's a whole crowd of people around. Sometimes I get a little instantaneous to get anxiety, you know. But nevertheless, I pray and I meditate, and anxiety goes away. So I'm not trying to be a crowd pleaser. I am a focused change agent that has been sent and commissioned to instruct those who want the best out of life, who want to receive and produce the best out of life, to get on board with this system. This plan of God works every time when everything else fails. And let me tell you something. I don't want you to get sad, get glad. We're going to come back to you. We're going to go further into the very elements of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And listen, I know we were there a couple of weeks ago, and we had to take care of some business, but we're coming back to go through the rigorous, requiremental factors that God has produced through his word, through the witness of Apostle Paul, so that you can get on board and you can spring alive as we move forward. Have a blessed and wonderful day, afternoon, evening, or night, because wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty there. The time factor does not matter, because he said, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. And a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, as 1,000 years is as one day. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, Abby, self-known Motor City Maharani, and all things give thanks. It's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh,